We're going to be receiving this man and his wife, and they will be able to supply to us an inside picture of what's taking place in that island nation. Everything we get is filtered, and then refiltered. So if you or anyone you know has living connections or interest in what's taking place in that island nation, I would encourage you to reach out to them this week. Juan will be here at the 9 o'clock service, the 11 o'clock service, and they'll be at the Hispanic Church, the Lakes Park Baptist Church, at the 1 o'clock service. Then I'll move him through the following days as he starts to go across the nation. But given what's taking place in the spirit in that situation, many of you can recall some of the reports I've given you in the past. I'm very pleased to be able to present him here next week, and I hope that you will give attention to that and join with us. Now I will replace my memory technique to its correct finger. It's one of those grenade jokes. You toss it and wait. I'm really, really pleased that we have done so well so far this morning, because it's always difficult to bring up a subject when the subject itself is the problem. But since the subject itself is not necessarily the problem today, this is a great day to bring it up. Right? You don't want to hear somebody preaching on cheating right after you've submitted your 1040. You want to hear about it in the fall before you have a chance to think of it again. But I want to entertain a topic this morning simply because I got caught by the Lord on it recently, and I was a bit astonished. So I'm going to introduce it with a series of slides here, and I'll get you to respond. When you see this, what do you call this? A present. Yeah, we all understand presents, right? Okay. So a present is an object. Very good. What about here? Oh, it's present, but it's a time frame. I see. It's not the past, and it's not the future. It's the... Okay. Now, what about when you're sitting in school and the teacher's taking roll? What do you say? Present. Okay. So, which is it? Well, it's like all of them, right? Thank you, dear. In order to understand what it means to use the word present, I'm calling upon what I think is hopefully not a widespread phenomenon, but common enough for most of us to identify with it. Have you ever been in an instructional situation and you realized, you had this sudden realization that the instructor has called upon you? You have no idea what's been said. You don't know what the question is. You just see them looking at you and all the heads are pointing in your direction. And in that moment, there are a number of things that begin to happen. Your recognition of the fact that you're supposed to be saying something shows on your face. Those who realize you don't know what's going on start to giggle. And within that small circle, there's a group who's not giggling because they remember when it was their turn to sit there and demonstrate this principle. I am here, but I'm not present. Now, we run into this phenomenon all over the place. And it usually is announced to us when someone else says, "Are you listening to me?" Yeah, honey, sure. What was it? Tuesday would be good. The concept of being here, but not being present, is a situation that affects our ability to move forward in the Lord. And as he brought this to my attention, I thought I'd bring it to yours. I remember a particular season back in the old place. When I say the old place, I'm talking about the previous building we occupied back in the early days. And during that season of time, the pastor who preceded me. It was in the late 70s, okay? So it was a time of turmoil in the country, and a lot of things were being revisited. And he had been reading from materials associated with an attempt to be more personal in church, like we still struggle with every year because this kind of setting doesn't lends itself to him not being personal. He decided we would have coffee with the pastor following the morning message so we could have questions and answers from the pastor to strengthen the learning environment. And over on the little small room to the left, we had this coffee pot that had emphysema, so you could always tell when it was percolating. It was fun to watch the newcomers because they had no idea what the noise was. So we would we'd stop, we'd say amen, we'd break out the coffee cups, we'd sit around and talk, and then we'd fellowship. And there was this one season, it was like 3 weeks long maybe, where there was a person visiting us. I think he was there because his wife was there. I'm going to borrow your Bible, if I may, for just a few seconds. That's all right, I'm not going to dump anything. So people have got their little styrofoam cups. We're walking around these wooden benches that were handmade back in the, you know, when Noah was busy sawing stuff. And so there's fellowship going on, and people are talking. And here he sits in the middle on the right-hand side as you face the platform in the middle of one of those red-leaded pews, all by himself, reading his Bible. That's a very spiritual thing to do when you're out at a spiritual place, don't you think? Now, after 2 or 3 weeks, I happened to be standing there when he announced he was leaving because we were not friendly. Now, I would submit to you that he was there, but he was not present. Okay? Now, I think we're understanding one another, are we not? There's a dynamic about the Lord where he likes to present his people. And some of us who've been around for a while are a little bit hesitant for him to present us because we've heard stories about how he presents people and the consequences. Like once he said, "Have you considered my servant Job? Let me show you what he's made up." Glad somebody already did that one. But there is in the idea of the Lord this concept that he intends to present you to the Father. Let it sink in. Now that you let it sink in, let me ask it this way. How many of you are ready for him to present you to the Father today? Suppose it was your turn to be presented right now. I wish I had a cameraman up here so you could see y'all up there going through the, "Oh Lord, I'm not ready today." We're not talking about dying. We're talking about the release of insecurities in us at the thought Jesus would come and say, "I would like to present you to my Father." Because emotionally, we're kind of doing this. When, in fact, the Lord intends it to be like this. "Father, here he is. Here she is. The one I've spoken to you about so often." Anybody ever been around a wedding? Anybody ever been in a wedding? Anybody ever been married? When does the planning start? When do the preparations begin? The books say that if you don't start at least 12 months ahead of time, you're already behind. Okay? In her mind, when did the planning start? And she had a conspirator called Mom. And so for 16, 18, 21, 26, 32 years, there's been this thing going on. And then it comes time for the preparation for the vision. And us guys are going, okay, that was good. No, this is announcing our wedding. It's got to be special. It's got to be special. Okay, that was good too. And halftime. We understand that there is a preparation for the presentation. Because there's going to come a moment when everybody stands up, the doors open, and there is the presentation of the one for whom we have been waiting. Now, in this scenario, we have this interesting promise that we are going to be the bride of Christ. So the entire Godhead is planning this event. And their planning began long, long, long before there was an ago. And as it's starting to come to fruition, we have certain statements made to us that sound like this. He has now reconciled you in His fleshy body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And when I say, are you ready to be presented to the Father? The first thing that comes to us emotionally is how unholy we are, how blame-filled we are, and how much reproach there is about us, even though we don't think in those words. We have a drawback response to the concept of being in His presence. But He might present to Himself the church in all her glory. Now, who's the church? In all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. And He decides He's going to do that to the church by first doing that to you. Now, here's the thing. He's already done that to you. The problem is, we don't see it from eternity's point of view. The preparation includes our participation. I mean, you know how hard it is to fit someone for a dress if they keep fidgeting. If they keep moving around, if they keep changing location. Our partnership with the Holy Spirit in this preparation has to do with that used to be, now this is, since this is, that shouldn't be. So I won't do that. Instead, I'll do this. Accept that, and there we are. What did He say? I'm going to tell you. Do not go on presenting the members of your body as to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God. Look at this. Do not go on presenting the members of your body as to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. And it does not say, present your members as instruments of righteousness to God. What does it say? It says, be present to God. But wait a minute, right at the end it says, present your members as rights. I don't understand. Okay. Let's pull present yourself to God out of this. All right. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of righteousness, but instead present your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now what's wrong with that picture? We stop doing what we were compelled to do in order to be forced to have another compulsion. Right smack in the middle, we have this admonition. Be present to God. Because if you're present to God, there's the opportunity for unrighteousness to pass away and for the activity of righteousness to flow out of the fact that I have just been with my Father's presence. You understand me? Now, if you've had any discipleship training at all, you've been told to stop doing that and start doing this. And the centerpiece that's been missing from the whole plan is, go sit down in front of your Father. be present to God before you have to be concerned about yielding your instrument, your members as instruments of righteousness. What does this say? Let me look again. But present yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead, and present your members as instruments of righteousness to God. The metamorphosis has to flow out of this notion of being present to God. Now, does that require some attention? Yes, it does. I was telling some folks yesterday that I presented myself to the Lord fairly regularly recently. And in one of those morning scenarios, I presented myself to the Lord. I did some reading. I said, "Now I'm just going to wait for you to speak." So I laid my chair back. I folded my hands right here and I closed my eyes just to listen. I woke up sometime later. And I said, "Oh, okay. Well, then let's have another cup of coffee." And we continued our talk. There are those among us who would apologize to God for falling asleep as we were performing our duty. I just thanked Him for the nap. Do you hear what I'm saying? I presented myself to the Father, and apparently there wasn't anything He wanted to say. Since He was already awake, apparently He didn't need me to watch with Him. So I napped. And then I got up, and we continued our day. How unrighteous is that? You know, one of the most righteous things we can do is rest, because we have let busyness run us completely out of any sense of energy. How many of you, living in a context of intimacy with other people, have been able to say to them, "Listen, you need to go take a nap. I need to go take a nap." Understand what I'm saying? That's right. I need you to go take a nap. And I'm going to turn this bed around so when you get up, it's going to be on the other side, not the wrong side. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm trying hard in this season of my life not to present labor as the remedy for the other kind of labor. I think there's a rest in God that's the remedy for the wrong labor. Because from a place of rest and peace, we have a chance to let who He is flow rather than try to do an imitation of God. Have any of you ever been in a park or a carnival setting where a mime has come up and begun to imitate you? They don't do real well, do they? No, they exaggerate everything and everybody can tell it's not you. See, we ought not be pretenders of God. We ought not be trying to put on the activity of God. We should be the incarnation of aspects of Him that just flow. But to get there requires a little bit of cooperation. Paul says it to Timothy like this: "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God." To God. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. Be diligent. Exercise yourself in such a fashion you can present yourself approved to God. Not by God, to God. Now, what does this word approved mean? I'll tell you. In the history of currency, there was a time in the earth when most nations used the actual precious metal, not paper stuff. If you had a gold coin or a silver coin or a bronze coin or a copper coin, you had some means of trading. And so in every nation, there would be the people who take the ore and reduce it to the size of the coin of the realm, whatever it's going to be. And in the same way that if you were to pull a coin out of your pocketbook this morning, you'd see that there is on the edge some kind of definition to it. They would have to define it as well. But they didn't have the kind of technology we have, so they would shave the coin to its appropriate size. Now, there were people who would shave the coin just a little shy of its appropriate size. What do you think they did with the shavings? They would keep collecting them, they'd make another coin. So they basically cheated somebody somewhere. At one point, Athens had 80 laws on the books pertaining to the shaving of coins to standardize the wealth of the currency. And in that unrighteous context, you would find men of integrity who were careful to present the coin just as it was. And as they were certified and became known as people of integrity, the word applied to them was approved. They have been approved by the government of Athens, which is to say, it's a just scale. Which is to say that the integrity of the thing is as it appears to be. So present yourself as the thing that it appears to be. Now, if the thing is dented, let it be dented. If it's shaved, let it be shaved. Don't pretend that it's not dented. Don't pretend that it's not shaved, but look for the restoration of the whole thing. Do you follow me? Because those are other words for saying, quit pretending to be what you're not and accept the limitations that are presently in your life because they will not endure. But if we pretend they're not there, we never get to deal with them. Because we have this idea that if I come into the presence of God for who I am, He's going to find some way not to let me be there. Here's how it works. We try to commend ourselves with our religious activities. And we end up praying like this. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. I pay my tithes. I don't miss prayer meetings. I read that somewhere. And yet there was somebody next to him who said, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Who went away justified? The one who understood what he actually was. Now, let's follow this for a moment. We have difficulty in being present to God because of what we know about us. I find the principle that evil is present in me. The one who wants to do good. Does that sound like you? Listen to it again. I find it to be a law, a rule of action of my being, that when I want to do what is right and good, evil is ever present with me, and I'm subject to its insistent demands. Let's listen to it again. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? Now, here's the problem that we find in this scenario. We have this thing we want to present to God. It's the who we would like to be thought of by Him. And so we never come fully into His presence because we have this shadow side. We want to put our best face forward to Him and to anybody associated with Him. And so we walk funny. We have this thing, okay? If the gap on my tooth is over here, you're only going to see me smiling in the profile. Because we're conscious of how we present ourselves. I want to show you something I think might help nail this idea of the shadow you in place. It's innocent, but it's informative. Take a look at this.
Cliche that actually comes to life. She's afraid of her own shadow.
Rainy, what's wrong? Jump. What? It's not going away.
All right. Now let's put you in that outfit, standing in that place, looking at the shadow you that stands between you and the caregiver. What's the caregiver say? What's wrong? I'm not going anywhere. And yet, between us, there is this long shadow. It's all the things I know that I'm not approved of. It's all the things he says I shouldn't do that I do, even though I know I shouldn't do them and I don't want to do them. But this is real because there's a principle at work in me that opposes the very thing I want to do. But how interesting it is that if I turn toward the sun, if I fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, who for the joy of relationship with me that was set before him endured the cross, even the shame of the cross. The moment I turn in the direction of the sun, my shadow is behind me and it no longer stands between me and the sun. But rather than doing that, when I notice the thing, I start paying attention to it and I can't get away from it. And there it is everywhere I go because when I look into the sun, I can't see it. Now here's the beauty of the process. When you were in the dark, you didn't even know you had a shadow. It's only when you come to the light that you discover there's a shadow that follows you. Father fully anticipated there would be a shadow side of our life. And he made full provision for it before the sun was even created. The blood of Jesus Christ sprinkles our conscience from dead works. Therefore, you have access to boldly enter the presence of God. This notion of the shadow side plays on us emotionally all the time. And I'm suggesting to you that part of your being present to God is that you acknowledge that it's there. Because, trust me, you are the only one in the room who's in denial about how bad off you are. You don't think we can tell that you walk funny? Fine. No, good. Yeah, great. Hallelujah. I'm just running the race for Jesus. And Father knows it too. And he is not put off by it. See, we've been raised to think about God out there. But the gospel of the kingdom makes Father right here. He never, ever rejects me. But when I let the shadow get between us, I don't feel the liberty to go to him because I've turned my eyes from the point of focus. I'm going to ask you to begin the exercise of becoming comfortable being present to God. Some of us are afraid to go there because we think we'll find judgment. But here's what the scripture says about that. If we would judge ourselves, we would not have to be judged. If there's unrighteousness still at work, what do? You present yourself to the Father, to be present to the Father, and then not yield your instruments. You can't go from yielding to not yielding. You have to go by way of his presence. There's another aspect about this that should trouble us, and that is the practice of these things. There's a story in the Bible in Acts about a Roman officer who was a God seeker. And in one of his times of prayer, an angel appeared to him and told him, "Send to Joppa on the street called Straight for a man named Peter, who's at the house of Simon the Tanner, and he will tell you what you need to know." Which catches my attention, since the angel was already talking on behalf of God. it appears it pleases the Lord to engage us in the business. So Peter comes, and here's how Cornelius greets him. Listen to this. So I sent for you immediately, and you've been kind enough to come. Now then, listen. We are all here present before God. They are here, and they are present. They are not simply here. And they understand they are present before God. I would say to you, based on what I experienced in worship with you today, that most of you were present with God. Now, if you spent your week being present to God, how open would the heaven be when we came here to be present to God? I'd like to be here on those days. The sound man is so anxious because he's hearing that popping. Be relaxed. We're here together, present before God. To hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Now, we are here present before God to get to the lunch afterwards. We're here present before God because I didn't want to stay home with him this morning. We're here present before God because the kids insisted we come. Or we are here to hear what God has commanded. See, you can't even hear what the Lord is saying if you don't present yourself. Let's try it up here. In the presenting of yourself to others, and that's what we're talking about, being present to others, we have this idea that until I am or until they become, we can never. There's no basis for, they're white, I'm Korean, they're black, I'm Hispanic, they're Northerners, I'm Yankee. Sorry, Yankees. But the Lord fully anticipated this and made provision for it already. Listen to these things. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Be subject to one another means you're hanging out together, subject to one another in the activity of what God is doing. Because I'm telling you, until we start hanging out together, we don't even know how long our shadow is. Because we see the light, think we're walking in the light, but there's different kinds of light. When is your shadow the longest? When the light is low. When is your shadow the smallest? When it's directly overhead. But I can't see my shadow in either situation. But if somebody is walking with me, they can say, dude, long shadow. What are they saying? Come back to the light. Because if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You can't see your shadow even when you're facing the sun and not realize how far from the center of the sun you've actually become until you're in communion with one another and somebody can say to you, dude, check this out. You can walk in that self-deceit all by yourself, thinking you're in the light, getting your own notions of what walking in the light is. Folks, we're given to one another by the Spirit. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one Spirit with him. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind and striving together for the faith of the gospel. I was surprised to discover that I can come here to the Lord and not be present to the Lord. I can come here to the people and not be present to the people. And I'm instructed about that. And it's had a life-giving impact on me in just however many days it's been. Because I'm freshly attuned to the fact that if I go to work the same way every day, I take the same trail, the terrorists know where to take me out. You follow me? If I open my devotional book the same way every time, I say the same prayer every time, if I do the same thing every time, I might not even know that the well there has dried up. But if I'm walking with others, lo and behold, their canteen is full because they were there when I wasn't. And it spills over in my life. I watched this morning, I'm so tickled with the Lord about so many things, but I watched this morning as Pete worshiped my sermon. Can y'all connect the dots on that stuff? We sung this before I ever said any of it. And what was of particular interest to me, I was in the gathering this morning preaching, and they had a spectacular worship experience today. Spectacular. And it's often not spectacular. The dynamics are completely different. You're dealing with 35 people who didn't take their pill this morning, so they're not quite awake. No, I think we should start, welcome to the gathering here, have a caffeine pill. But it captured my attention that today was explosive. Because as I watched, I saw people being present with God. You understand me? They weren't just here. They were present to God in the moment. And it was spectacular. It was fun. It was awesome. It was this, but not quite as loud. By the way, I jumped up here on the platform and said, "Are you ready for some football?" Because y'all didn't know what was going on in my mind. Hank Williams Jr. says that when football season rolls around because he wants to get together with all his rowdy friends. And I sure felt like I was with all my rowdy friends this morning. I'm asking you to consider that there is an actual grace present for you to return to being present to God. Not quiet time, not just journaling, but presenting yourself to God. And if, as you sit to listen, you fall asleep, be okay with that. Don't do the religious thing. Don't apologize. Don't repent. "Oh, God, I fell asleep. I was supposed to be talking to you." That's right. Dust and ashes. Sounds like somebody's name, doesn't it? I'm asking you to be present to God's people. Because you do not know. Patty and I have found this to happen so many times. We'll be praying or we'll be in the scripture, either together or independently, and something will resonate with us that morning. And as we walk out our day, we find who that message was for. And when we deliver it, they know they've heard from God. So you do not know why God puts a certain treasure in your spirit that day. But if it's the spirit of your Father, most likely it's to give away. And if we become sensitized to be present with Him and to be present with others, we'll know whose telegram we have in our heart and can deliver it in season. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, please don't go make something religious out of this. I'm just saying that if you're one of those people who know the law is good, and with your mind you want to do it, but you keep finding that something covertly rebels within you, and the next thing you know, you've been taken captive by it. I'm just simply saying, turn toward the light. Don't let the shadow keep you from being present to God, because when you get the word of the Lord, make sure you make yourself present to somebody else. And let that be the life of Jesus flowing out of you. It ought not be what we have turned it into. Do you hear me? It's got to be easier than this. Now, Father, we thank you for the food we're about to eat, because we feel famished this late in the afternoon. With every head up and every eye open. It's an inside joke. I want to ask you to do business with the Lord this week. I'm not calling you to the altar, but if you need to come to the altar, come. If you need prayer for something, come. But I'm asking you this week to attempt to be present to God somewhere. Somewhere in the week. If you don't know how to make it work, we can help you make it work. These are the tools. This is the way. Come do here. Da, do that. Now, wait. Because the goal is not to do. The goal is to get to the place where God can. Right? So I ask for the communion of the Holy Spirit to overtake you this week. I ask that dreams would be released from heaven. I pray that someone will sing a word, a magazine will have a title, something in the headlines will capture attention, and you know that's God for you in that moment, because you'll know it in your spirit. I ask that God Himself would come and be present to you, and that your response would be to turn toward the light and not let a single shadow separate you. Amen? Let's see. I'm sorry, please rise, you're dismissed. The altar's open if you need us to pray with you for healing. You want to begin a relationship with God. Tables and stuff are downstairs. Food's in the kitchen. If you got to bring something, come on down. There ought to be plenty. If your conscience won't let you, run across the store and buy a chicken. But let's eat.